I discovered that my handgun was stolen.
Dad thinks it was an inside job.
How many other people were in the home at that time?
Just my daughter and Mr. Williams, Your Honor.
What makes you think your daughter didn't take the gun?
My daughter wouldn't do that, Your Honor.
So the boyfriend gets grilled.
I asked Mr. Williams if he would be willing to take a polygraph test. I paid for it at my own expense. And Mr. Williams failed the polygraph test 4 times.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Eric Reed is suing his daughter's boyfriend, 20-year-old Cody Williams, for a gun stolen from his home and reimbursement for a polygraph test.
Order. All rise. It's case number 43 on the calendar in the matter of Reed versus Williams.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Why don't you folks have a seat?
Mr. Reed, the defendant is your daughter's boyfriend.
Yes, Your Honor.
Current boyfriend?
On again, off again, Your Honor.
Is your daughter in the courtroom?
She is, Your Honor.
And that would be her?
Yes.
Okay. It is your claim that Mr. Williams stole property from you, and that property is a gun?
Yes, Your Honor.
And do you want to be compensated or you want the return of that gun? Mr. Williams said he had nothing to do with taking your gun. He never had it in his possession. He's not guilty. So the ball is in your court, sir. What proof do you have that Mr. Williams took your gun?
Okay. I was letting Mr. Williams live in my home, and he had trashed my garage over a period of about 1 month.
What do you mean he trashed your garage?
Well, he had garbage all over the place. He destroyed some doors.
How did he destroy the doors?
Disrespect and neglect.
Well, just tell me, how did he do that? How do you destroy a door?
One of the doors wouldn't secure. It wouldn't close. Because of the way that he lived in my garage, I asked him to leave my home.
So he was living in your garage?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so you asked him to leave, and?
And then my daughter had a car accident, and she had no way to get to work. My wife was going to Chicago for the holidays. I allowed him to come back to my home for the period of 1 week because he wanted to make amends. And after he did that, I said he could stay in my home to take my daughter to and from work while her vehicle was being repaired.
Okay.
I came home from work unexpectedly one evening, and I discovered that my handgun was stolen. There was no sign of forcible entry into my home. There was no one else that could have done it.
Just a second. First of all, the fact that there's no forcible entry doesn't mean that someone didn't get into your home, that someone didn't leave a door open and someone came into the home. How many other people were in the home at that time?
Just my daughter and Mr. Williams, Your Honor.
Well, what makes you think your daughter didn't take the gun?
My daughter wouldn't do that, Your Honor.
Well, you see, that comes from here. That doesn't come from information.
I called the police and I filed a police report and reported the handgun stolen. And I asked Mr. Williams if he would be willing to take a polygraph test because I felt that it was probably him. Mr. Williams agreed to take a polygraph test, and we spent the better part of a day doing so. I paid for it at my own expense. And Mr. Williams failed the polygraph test 4 times. And I also have a DVD of him changing his story several times. And it's imperative that you view this DVD, Your Honor.
Changing his story in what regard, sir?
He came up with about 4 different...
Tell me.
Well, he said that it could have been a kid named Blake.
What else?
He also said that I probably stole my own gun.
Just a second. So that's another thing that he said. Maybe it was you that took your own gun. What else?
He also stated that my wife stole my gun.
Did he say your wife stole your gun or your wife could have stole your gun?
He said my wife could have stole my gun.
That's a different story. Your wife could have taken it. He was giving you alternatives to him.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, that's not changing his story. That's just saying, why are you blaming me? It could have been this kid Blake who was in the house. It could have been you who took your own gun. It could have been your wife who took the gun. I'm saying it could have been your daughter that took the gun. That's not changing his story. That's just giving you, Mr. Reed, alternatives to pointing a finger at him.
I understand that.
And polygraph tests are not admissible.
I understand that.
Under any theory, they have not proven to be sufficiently reliable to be admissible in any court.
He also told my daughter 2 days after the gun was stolen out of the clear blue sky, I know this guy named do you know what he does for a living? And my daughter said, no, I have no idea. And he said, he takes stolen guns, he buys them, and he ships them to Iowa for profit.
Okay, well, let's ask your daughter that question. Stand up. What's your first name?
Laura.
Laura, your father says you had a conversation with him about the gun?
Yes.
When?
It was about a couple days after it was taken.
Tell me the context that you had this conversation with your father.
It was actually with my mother. My father was at work at the time, and I had heard the story from Cody. And
what
told
story?
The story that he went and sold guns over Iowa for his own profit.
Who? But I thought you were there and spoke to Cedric yourself.
It was not that day. I had heard it a couple days afterwards from Cody.
So you never spoke to Cedric yourself?
Not about that, no.
Okay. So then you had a conversation with your mother?
Yes, because I had heard from Cody that he had done that on the side.
And tell me about the conversation with your mother.
I told her that, you know, the other day we were sitting up at the tattoo shop just having a normal conversation, and then a couple days later I had found out that he had been selling guns on the side for his own profit, but nothing to do with, you know, ours, because I didn't know at the time.
And what did your mother say to you?
She said that she wanted to have a talk with Cody and have him call Cedric himself right in front of her.
And did he?
Yes.
So in front of you, Cody called this Cedric?
Yes, I demanded it because I said, you know, if you have nothing to do with it, can you please call him
in front of
in
you?
In front of me. And
he did that?
Yes.
And you heard his half of the conversation?
Yes.
And what was it?
That I'm sitting here with Laura's mom, and she wanted to know if you had taken it or knew anything about it. And that's what he had told Cedric. But I didn't hear what's on the other side because he didn't put it on speaker so I could hear. It was just what he had told him, and that's it.
When he hung up, did he tell you what Cedric had told him?
He said that he had no clue. And he said he told that he would make sure that he looks for my gun because he knows people, that he goes to people's house, steals the guns, and he's gonna ask people around if they would come up with my gun, if they were gonna come up with the gun. So he was asking if he would talk to other people in the group that does sell the guns, and that's what.
Did your gun in a lockbox?
My gun was kept in the nightstand drawer on my side.
Was your gun in a lockbox?
No, Your Honor.
Well, Mr. Reed, I don't know who took your gun, but you don't have enough evidence to suggest that Mr. Williams was the perpetrator.
Can you view the videotape, Your Honor?
That says what?
That it shows.
This is the videotape of the polygraph.
No. If what you are suggesting on there is that he tried to suggest to you other alleged perpetrators, who they might be, that's not changing his story. I've explained that to you. It's not sufficient in a court to suggest that he was one of a couple of people, one of whom you know would never steal property from you. It's your daughter. I don't know that. You may feel that, but that feeling is not evidence in a court. He didn't have exclusive possession of that property. They were both there, and maybe other people too. Maybe he had friends. Maybe you went to Chicago and they had a party. All possible. And if you're leaving, Mr. Reed, and you're leaving a couple of young people in your house, I'm going to suggest to you that wisdom would suggest that you remove a gun from your nightstand and put it in a safe place, like a safe or a vault or a lockbox or something, but not leave a weapon out. That's a problem.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You can't just introduce the tape and says, I want you to watch him swallow and I want you to watch how nervous he is, and that's sufficient for me to label him a thief. He may be.
No.
And later today.
Just because she's young doesn't mean she's wrong.
I feel she should have been paying attention.
You should have been paying attention. You should have stopped at the stop sign until it was clear.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Eric Reed says his daughter's boyfriend, Cody Williams, stole a gun from his home. He is suing for its value and the cost of a polygraph test.
Okay. Anyway, I mean, I read your case, and it sounded to me as exactly as it was when you testified today, that while you have your suspicions, you don't have sufficient proof to establish that Mr. Williams took your property.
Your Honor, on the videotape, you can see Mr. Williams fidgeting. He's nervous. He continually keeps swallowing.
You don't have evidence First of all, polygraph test can't be admitted with a tape. It has to be admitted, if at all, in a civil trial. If both sides consent, it could be admitted if there's a polygraph expert to testify as to what the polygraph says, what the conditions were in it. You can't just introduce the tape and says, I want you to watch him swallow and I want you to watch how nervous he is, and that's sufficient for me to label him a thief. He may be. Yeah. You don't have proof that he stole your property.
I understand what you're saying, Your
Honor.
Good,
then I'm glad you understand. What?
I'm his dad. I'd just like to say one thing.
Go ahead.
You can stay up here. I like Laura. She's okay. There's a whole pretense to this that's not coming out. They keep on wanting to talk about the tape. But on the tape, it says, Cody, did you steal the gun? A flat line that says no. I know you don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, Judge. I just want to bring this up. There's a lot of things that will take up most of your day on the stories that go on.
There are other television programs that would welcome that kind of backstory.
I understand.
This is not one of them.
I understand.
This is a very easy case. He thinks that your son stole his property. He doesn't have proof that your son stole his property.
Exactly.
That's not what we do in a court. In the court, you have proof.
I know you deal with
evidence.
Just facts.
You have evidence, and if you don't have evidence, you can take your thoughts or your love or your other emotions and you take them someplace else, because in this case, I don't know, Mr. Williams, whether you stole that gun or not, but it's up to Mr. Reed, before I ask you that question, to establish some evidence that you did, and he doesn't have that evidence. Goodbye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I understand what Judge Judy was saying about needing hard evidence, and most of what I have was not the smoking gun.
There it is.
He knows he's a thief.
Don't have no evidence. You know, I'm not a thief. You know, I'm not a liar. He can say whatever he wants to say.
I know that he's the only one that could have taken it. He was the only one that had access to my house. He was the only one that had a key. There's nobody else that could have gotten into my house and taken the gun.
I am 120% sure that I did not do that.
Oh, I know he's lying.
I mean, I've known him for a long time. I never would have thought he would have done anything like that.
Well, I hope my daughter opens up her eyes one day, but if she doesn't, she's going to have to make the bed that she lays in. Simple as that.
That's all I hope for. That's all I want, is to be innocent.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Daggett versus Stone. Step forward.
Stephen Daggett is suing motorist Nathan Stone for damage to his car after Nathan collided with his 16-year-old daughter, Grace.
Which one of you two young ladies was driving?
I was.
Why don't you stand up? Mr. Daggett, this is your daughter?
Yes, ma'am.
And you weren't there when this accident took place. Your daughter was driving. She's a relatively new driver. And it is your claim that the defendant is responsible for the accident that occurred. Defendant says that's not true. He wasn't responsible. Your daughter was responsible for the accident. Now, on what date did the accident take place?
March 13th.
And your first name is?
Grace.
Grace, the car with the letter P on it is your car.
Yes.
And you were driving down, according to your complaint and according to that diagram, County Road 47?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you, Mr. Stone, were driving your truck. You have a truck?
Yes, Your Honor.
Driving down Pine Street?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I see, Mr. Stone, that you have a stop sign.
Yes, Your Honor.
So why don't you go over there, Mr. Stone, and tell me what happened when you went through the stop sign?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, this is wrong to begin with. What happened is I was at the stop sign right here on Pine. I was at a full stop.
Point to where your truck was.
I was right here. I was at the stop sign.
Right.
There was a truck in the turn lane, but it wasn't all the way in the turn lane. Part of it was actually out on the road. As it was so...
You don't mean out on the road. You mean in the road.
Well, I mean in the other lane, Your Honor.
Okay.
So it was kind of in between the turn lane and the street.
So it was not all the way turned.
It wasn't all the way in the turn lane, Your Honor. So I looked and I saw that he was there, so I assumed that there was no traffic that could get behind him. He was blocking half the road. So I pulled out to go around him. Well, she must not have been paying attention.
Don't tell me what she must not have been doing.
I apologize.
Doing.
I apologize.
Listen to me. Just tell me, you assumed that nobody was behind him.
I didn't. Well, even if somebody was, I assumed that they couldn't get around him without having to go around, across the center line on a highway.
You assumed
to go around
that?
Him. Yes, Your Honor.
You assumed
So I went out around, and that's when she hit me.
Oh, really?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Did you have insurance?
I did not at that moment.
Why didn't you have insurance?
Because that day, the insurance had actually lapsed the day before. I was going to actually sell the truck that day.
Well, that's when she needed the insurance, because you damaged her car.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Stephen Dackett says motorist Nathan Stone was at fault for an accident on the road with his 16-year-old daughter, Grace. Nathan claims the accident was Grace's fault.
Now, your assumptions were, however, wrong, Mr. Stone, because when you have a stop sign, now let me ask you this question. You can go back now, because I was curious about who had a stop sign. You would not have collided with the plaintiff's car if you had waited for that car to make the truck to make its turn, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you had waited perhaps another 10 seconds, we wouldn't have had an accident.
But I didn't think that anybody could get around
the truck.
I don't
care what you thought. You thought wrong, because you have a stop sign. So if you had waited for that truck and didn't say, well, there couldn't have been anybody behind them, because then they would have had to go around and go over the yellow line, coulda, woulda, shoulda. If you would have waited, you wouldn't have had to guess. That's what the stop sign is for, Mr. Stone.
But she should have saw me sitting there, saw me pulling
out. No. She doesn't have a stop sign. You have a stop sign. That's what the stop sign is for. You're supposed to wait until it's totally clear. And it wasn't clear, because your view of her car was blocked by the truck that was turning. Is that a fair statement? That's a fair statement. Your view of her car was blocked by the truck that was turning. Let us remove from the equation, Mr. Stone, the fact that there was a truck turning, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Take that truck out of the equation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you have seen her car?
Yes, Your Honor.
Of course. So, if you had waited for the truck to turn, you would have seen her car.
That's a possibility, Your Honor.
No, that's not a possibility. You just told me that you would have seen it. I mean, unless you were blinking, unless you were looking at something else, you would have seen her car, because her car was clearly there, and she had the right of way.
Well, like I said, I didn't know that anybody could get behind the truck, which is why the truck was blocking the road, so that's why I went.
That's what you have a stop sign for, sir, so you don't have to guess. You wait until the impediment has passed that precludes you from seeing what's coming down the road, whatever it is. You wait for that car to pass, and if you don't, then you have to accept responsibility. And just because she's young doesn't mean she's wrong.
I feel she should have been paying attention.
You should have been paying attention. You should have stopped at the stop sign until it was clear. And if there was a police car that responded to that location, I guarantee you that that's what the police would have told you. Did they respond?
Yes, they did, Your Honor.
Did you have insurance?
I did not at that moment.
Well, that's the moment we're talking about. Why didn't you have insurance?
Because that day, the insurance had actually lapsed the day before. I was going to actually sell the truck that day.
So you had no insurance?
For the one day, no.
Well, that's when she needed the insurance, because you damaged her car.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, can I see pictures of the car? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you hit her car, sir. She didn't hit your car. You could have killed them. Then you would have been in serious trouble, because it would have been your fault. And they would have taken your house and your car and your business and your income for the next 50 years. You blew a stop sign because you were thinking that it would be all right, because there was nobody there. You should have waited the extra 10 seconds. Do you have an estimate for your car?
I do, Your Honor.
I'd like to see it. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,269. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Everything was ripped off the walls, out of the closet. Stuff was torn apart, clothes ripped.
Did you lose your temper?
No.
Both had all that happen.
Her room that she was renting isn't my responsibility to watch.
Judge Judy.
She should have been paying attention when I pulled out. She didn't pay attention. I got hit.
I think it was a fair decision. I think she's seen the truth, and that's the way it happened.
And if she didn't see me pulling out, she should have been able to slow down, let me get around, or whatever the case may be.
We were going down the street, and we got hit, so I had her pull over, and then she called her dad, and I took the phone from her because she was unable to talk to him. He told me to call the police, and I called the police.
She was crying. She's a 16-year-old little girl, new driver. What do you do?
Oh, just because someone's young, it doesn't mean that they're in the wrong.
It happened, and there's nothing that can be done about it now, so.
Yeah, I've driven with her many times. She's a safe driver.
People need to learn how to drive.
People need to learn what stop sign means.